Alhamdulillahi wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah. Yesterday Maulana Yusuf Saab gave an example of a practical demonstration for his students. And in that way he got their attention. See, also before we start the bayan proper, let us refresh our intentions. Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Rahmatullah Ali used to say that for any action there are three basic intentions that a person can make. And over and above we can add on more, like Mufti Saab explained, mashallah. So one is hukma ilahi, this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we're going to eat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us we must eat. We're sitting now in the example in the company of the pious people. It's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should adopt good company. So any action we do, say Allah, it's your hukum, it's your command. And the benefit of this is that a person will get abdiyat. That is, a person who will become the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a very high position. Then the second intention a person should make, this is our Ustad Ma'abla Maulvi Saab, Tamad Barakatum mentioned to us, that Hafiz Saab used to say this, that ridai ilahi, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wa ridwanu min Allahi akbar, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest thing, better than Jannah also itself. And the third intention is muhabbata ilahi, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over and above that, we can add on our intentions, our islah, etc. So the topic for this session is on what is islah, what is reformation. And in Cape Town, the Cape normally say islah. I don't know about P, but for islah, they say islah. If you break it down, islah, you cut, you must slaughter me, you cut me. So we'll come back to that later, inshallah. But nonetheless, in the Quran and Kareem, you'll see that there are different words used for this islah. Like Mufti Saab mentioned, there are different people answer it in different ways. What is the meaning of islah? So Nabi Shaykh alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, A'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajim, in uridu illa al-islah. He said, my intention is islah, reformation, rectification. Then in the Quran Karim, we recite this dua in every rakat, in every salam, ihdina siratu mustaqim, Allah, give us hidayat, give us guidance, guide us to the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one ayat that إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. So a person who really has a heart, that person will take heed. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful is a person who makes his tazkiyah. So these are some words that they use in the Quran. Islah, tazkiyah, hidayah. And loosely we can translate them as self-reformation, self-purification, correcting a person's self, reforming oneself, putting oneself right. Then there's another word also used, that is ihsan, beautification, to do everything in the best possible way. Now this word tazkiyah, that is purification, is very, very vast. In the commentary Ma'riful Quran of Malayri Skandalvi, Rahmatullahi Ali, so he says that under the commentary of this ayat, but aflaha man tazakka, that person is successful, purifies himself. He says purification of the heart and purification of the body and by extension purification of the clothes and the house and one's environment. So islah and tazkiyah is a very, very vast term. Just one little example to show us how vast this tazkiyah really is. Because some people feel maybe tazkiyah, these people are very narrow-minded, one-track-minded. So just give us one example of how vast tazkiyah really is and purification is. Look at the environment. Now we are taught in the Hadith Sharif that we should not relieve ourselves in water, like in a dam, in a river, in any type of water. So we look at it, we read in the basic books of fiqh and we take it for granted that, well, okay, we mustn't relieve ourselves there. There's a place for relieving ourselves. But if we go really deeper in today's time, we'll see that the natural way, firstly, is that a person relieves himself outside, some in an open place. In the previous time, people used to relieve themselves in the open. And there are a lot of benefits. One is a lot of fresh air there. So you don't have a problem of really bad smell. Then there's no splashing also, because the sand, the ground is soft. So there isn't, we should look for soft sand. As a Muslim mentioned in the Kitabs, look for a place that is soft, because there's no splashing also there. The Muslim is a different thing in today's time, whether it's practical or not. In our situation, that's a different thing. But we're talking about the ideal and what should be really a spirit from within, and how we should understand deen, look at deen. Then the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that it absorbs whatever impurity is there, it absorbs it. There's lots of acids that come out from our body. So when we eat food, whatever is toxic, the waste, the acid comes out. So if a person makes istinja, and a person uses lumps of soil, like a mud or clay, then that absorbs it acidity, because it's an alkaline, sends in alkaline, so it balances it off. So the best thing to use is to actually use lumps of mud and cloth. But yes, we mentioned as far as practicality goes, and we listen to what our mashayikh say, ulama say, and they will guide us in the situation that we are living in. So naturally now the earth pulls in the impurities, when a person releases himself, all the toxins, and it goes into the earth. End of the story. But in today's times, you look at it, with this suri system that we have, the water system. Now the impurities that we make, we relieve ourselves, is going into water. And the best thing that they should have done, should have maybe a certain place, a big hole somewhere, a very open space somewhere, all that can go there, can get absorbed into the ground, can be covered also. Even we know, like cats, for example, they dig a hole, they do their job, and they cover it. End of the story. No harm to the environment. But what they do, they deliberately, they put the water into the oceans, into the rivers. So I call it causing pollution. And what the hadith tells us, that is impurities, don't relieve yourself in the ocean. Now the water is such, that all this sickness that are in the waste product that has come out, that remains in the water, because it does not get absorbed into the sand, does not pull all that in, so it stays in the water. So they pollute the water. And then what happens now, when they give us water again, they have to now put in a lot of chemicals, they have to purify it again, and we need to pay them for that. So it's a whole system we look at it. So it causes a lot of harm now. So we're not having that water that is completely free of chemicals on the whole. So now this is one example to show how vast this term tazkiyah is, that to keep our environment also pure. So the hadith is full of this. It's a very, very vast topic. So this tasawwuf, this tazkiyah, ihsan is something which is very, very vast, and it's a very broad topic. Then when we look at this word, other word, hidayat, that guidance, that Allah subhanahu must give us hidayat. This is our greatest need, more than we need food, and more than we need water, and more than we need air, we need hidayat. We need guidance. We need to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the right way that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our greatest need. And this hidayat also, we ask for it in every rakat of every salah. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. So one reason for that is that the levels of hidayat are unlimited. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond our comprehension. There's no limits for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unending. His love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beauty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beings, unending. We can't confine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. So in the same way, this hidayat also, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, improving ourselves all the time, is unlimited. So that's why we keep on asking Allah, give us a higher level, give us a higher level of hidayat, give us a higher level of hidayat. And similarly, when it comes to this word ihsan, that is to do everything beautifully, in a nice way, with a consciousness and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we find in the hadith it mentioned that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانِ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained that whatever we do, it should be done in a nice way, in a beautiful way, in a nice way. We should aim, strive to do it in the best possible way. So we are encouraged here always to improve ourselves, to try to give up our best in everything. Then is a very famous quotation that man aslaha ma baynahu bayna rabbihi. We hear this quote very often. I don't know if it's a hadith or mentions or single sahabi, but nonetheless it's mentioned very often. The meaning is correct, that a person who will make islah, a person who will sort out his matters between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then aslaha Allahu ma baynahu bayna khalqihi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sort out his matters with the creation. So all his matters, worldly affairs, all his matters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sort out. So first, you sort out your matters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sort out all your matters. And the subject matter is proven from ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, from the hadith. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. If you have taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all your matters easy. وَيَرْزُقُكُم مِّنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will provide for you, Allah will help you, Allah will make things easy for you. So in a nutshell, this is a loose translation, broad idea of this term islah, tazkiyah, taqwa, ihsan, that to purify ourselves, rectify ourselves, beautify ourselves, and to make ourselves right. Now what is this islah? How do we go about doing it? What is it actually? Sajid Padiya Rahmatullah Ali used to say, in a very nice, beautiful way, that's a very effective way, because he used to explain in a natural way, without any formality, it came from the heart, and that's what would really affect the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like those people, give us the sincerity. So he would say that, do the work of Mr. Somebody, and think yourself as Mr. Nobody. So do the work of Mr. Somebody, or Mr. Everybody. So do everything, you must be doing, active. You must be proactive. But at the same time, you must be humble. Don't regard yourself, I'm someone great, I'm something great. And I was at Damar Barakatum, always gives us the example. He says that Qari Amir Hassan Saab, Rahmatullahi, that when he came, he explained in the Darul Mazalbal, he said that what is Islah? For example, now in the morning, it's time to read Yasin. Say, read your Yasin now. It's time to read Salah, for example, now read your Salah. Whatever you have to do, what's your responsible, you do your job. You do your duty. That is Islah. That is what Islah is all about, to what you are supposed to be doing. Now, as far as the starting point of this, Islah is concerned, and Tasawwuf is concerned, and the ending point. Where do we start? Where do we end? So, as the Shaykh Muhammad Ali used to say, that it starts off with niyyah, the intention. Innama al-amalu bin niyyat. And the niyyah is amalul qalb, it's an action of the heart. Niyyah is found in the heart. And niyyah is very, very easy. In itself, deen is very easy. Deen yusrun. We think sometimes deen is difficult, deen is a burden. No, deen is a deen yusrun. Deen is easy. Easy. And you read Allahu bikum al-yusra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants things to be easy. So to make an intention is very, very easy. It's action in the heart. We don't even have to move our body. We don't even have to move a limb also. So just in the heart, just that intention, the thought in the mind, and in the heart, we just want Allah, it's for you, for example, it's your command. So niyat in itself, niyat is very, very easy. But what becomes difficult is to keep that niyat, to keep that focus, to always have our intention right, not to let the niyat go away to anything else. And for this, sometimes now, because of these outer elements, now it becomes difficult for us. It becomes a bit difficult. Like in itself, as it always explains also, the Mufti Zain al-Abidin, Rahmat Ali, explained the sunnat method of getting married. In great detail, how to get married, the sunnat way, so simple it is. And then the way our marriages take place, how much of effort, how much of restless nights, how much of expenses, how much of stress. And the people will say, yes, the sunnat way is very, very easy. But he asks, is people, anyone ready? They say, oh, it's very, very difficult. That is difficult. So it's very easy, but because of other factors, we find it so difficult. So in the same way, with this intention itself is very, very easy. Deen is very, very easy. But because of these outward factors now, it becomes a bit difficult. And that's where our Islah comes in now. We need to do the right thing. So Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahab Damar Barakatum explains nicely, he says, that we have four enemies. It's easy to remember these four enemies. In Urdu, the word for enemy is Dushman. Dal, Sheen, Meem and Noon, Dushman, it's enemy. So you see the first enemy, Dal, is for Dunya, stands for Dunya. So the world, that's our first enemy. So for actually it's a temptation for us, it's a test for us. Then the Sheen is for Shaitan, the devil. The Meem is for Mahol, the environment around us. People, society, the environment that we are in. And the Noon is for Nafs, the greatest enemy, Nafs. So we have these four enemies. And because the Dunya is around us, we get tempted. I must do this so that I can get some money. I can get something out of this. Shaitan is there whispering also. Do it for show. Do it for any other reason. Then the environment also. We are just doing this because of the environment. An example, we are in the company of five people here. We are in the masjid, in front of Hazrat, for example. Now we do certain things. But Hazrat is not there. The environment is not there now. We are not in the masjid. We are not in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. Now what happens to us? So then we are doing it because of the mahal, the environment. And then nafs itself also, the desires, the desire for name, for fame, to satisfy the nafs. So these are our enemies. So this is what makes it difficult. That is where the test lies. So now, as Shaykh Muhammad used to say, that the starting point of Islam, this is where the start Islam starts off, that our intention should be right. So we should try, before we do anything, just refresh our intention. Just think for a little while, that Allah is your command. Ya Allah, I'm doing it for you. I want my Islam, my reformation must take place. And then we can add on other intentions as well. And then the end point you would say is that Anta'budallah annaka tarahu. It ends up with this ihsan. That now whatever a person does with this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this conscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what will purify a person's deen, this is what will purify a person's life. Once I asked Hazrat many years ago that, for example, we have jafikr for the ummah, and our intention also should be, for example, a person going on gush, giving a talk, that people must benefit, and we're going to study sometimes according to the level of people, keeping in mind what the people say. And at the same time, we also thought that, no, everything must do for our Islah. We can't give it right to anyone else. So what do we do? So as I said, combine both at the same time, a lovely example as I gave. He said, for example, you're going to put on an outside light. It's for your benefit. But at the same time, people that are passing by are also going to benefit. Anyone that comes to your house, someone's walking the road, they're also going to benefit. So you're putting the light actually for your benefit. You need to benefit, but others will benefit at the same time. A person that opens up a business, he wants to make the profit. But other people are also benefiting at the same time. Then Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayh, and Mawlana Sahib also gave a very beautiful example. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayh would say, whenever I would give a talk, then I look at what deficiencies I have. I see what I am, what's lacking in my life, and I speak accordingly. So Manasata explained very nicely. He said that, for example, now we have a responsibility that if we see something wrong taking place, like we see someone, for example, not reading Salah. Now we have a responsibility. If we are able to tell the person, we should tell the person. If we can make some other plan to tell someone else to speak to this person, got some influence, or somehow or other we can make a plan, then we should try to do it. And once Malayus Patel Rahmatullah, he said, like example, all youngsters, for example, together, they're doing something busy, and it's time for Salah, and no one is getting up. And if you tell them, for example, for a young person, it's difficult to tell his friends, come, let's go for Salah. Now they'll say, you carry on, or say something else, someone will make fun of them, or make fun of him also. They won't give him cop. So it's a bit difficult. But so at the same time, we've got the responsibility. Now we have to tell them also, encourage others also. That's how we become strong. It's our responsibility also, to be able to speak. So he says the easy way is to tell everyone, okay, I'm going for Salah now. So you've given them the message. It's time for Salah. You've fulfilled your responsibility by giving them the message. And at the same time, it's not that they are going to now mock at you or take you lightly. You just say, I'm going for Salah. I'm carrying on for Salah. So you've given them the message. So we have a responsibility. When we see wrong things, we've got to speak out. We have to speak. It's part of Islam as well, that we have to speak out, and we have to try to bring about reformation in ourselves, firstly, most important, and in others also we try, we make the effort. So Manasata say, for example, now we see a person, and we're going for Gersh, and someone is not reading Salah. Or we know that we're going to visit someone who's in Malacca, and the person doesn't read Salah. Or anyone, our family members, we know, and we want to speak to that person that you must read Salah. But they say we have a problem also, because what if pride comes into us? I'm reading Salah, and you are not reading Salah, and I'm talking to the person about Salah, but I know it's in my life. Or I'm telling someone, for example, you must make zikr every day, read Quran, but I'm not doing it myself. So there's a problem. And at the same time, another problem, that if we don't do anything, now we are guilty of not encouraging a person to do good, we're not forbidding the evil. So how do we combine both? So he said the very easy way is that we are going to talk to the person about Salah, because we see the person is not reading Salah, and we've got a responsibility. But he says, just before that, think to yourself, that what do I need? My Salah, firstly, maybe I'm reading, so I'm coming to the masjid. But I don't have the concentration and devotion. So my Salah is not at a high level. I'm not coming early. I'm not in time for my first takbir always. I'm always missing the first takbir. I'm in the second serve, third serve. I'm not coming right to the front. So I need to improve my Salah. So he says, speak on the higher levels of Salah. So it's not in your own life. It's lacking in your life. So in that way, you can't look down at that person. And at the same time, the message will go to the person. So you are inviting the person actually to the higher level of Salah. The Salah is not in my life. You're inviting that person to read Quran, with a lot of concentration, with devotion, which I don't have myself. So in that way, we're not looking down at that person. So that's one of the very great benefits of making that intention. When we're doing anything, make the intention of our Islam firstly, look at what's lacking in our lives, and in this way, we're going to progress all the time. And we all want to progress. Every person wants to progress. No person wants to stagnate. We want to progress. So we make this intention all the time, Allah, that give me the higher levels of Hidayat, give me the highest level of Islam, of Tazkiyah. And in this way, we progress all the time. Then as far as this Islah is concerned, like we say Islah, right? Islah. You cut, you must cut. So we need a person to cut for us, a person to slaughter us. We need a sheikh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Karim that yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim. In some ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links the word tazkiyah to himself. Allah is the one that purifies you. Balillahu yuzakkihim may yashaw. In some ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuzakkihim. He is the one that purifies. So there are many other examples of this where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I do a certain thing. In other places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the Nabi is doing this or someone else is doing this. So this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use certain people. And أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. In one ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after ayat al-Kursi that يُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes people out of darknesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Nabi that أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. You take the people out of darknesses into light. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the Nabi is a means. So in the same way, the sheikh is a means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his system is that the sheikh is a means. So you go to the sheikh, you look for your Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a person's Islam. Now just a few examples of Islam. There are different ways. One is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see that there are many, many ahadiths. But just a few to get a glimpse of how important Islam is. And Islam takes place by means of one person. Someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, that person makes the Islam of people. So, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned to a youngster, Ya ghulam sammillah. When the youngster went to eat, and he had to know the adab, he needed to know the etiquette. The person, otherwise, we'll just eat with the left hand, eat from the fingers, will be moving around everywhere, forget to say bismillah. So, Nabi alayhi salam said, oh youngster, sammillah, take the name of Allah, say bismillah. Wakul biyamini, eat with your right hand. Wakul mimayalik, eat from what's in front of you. So, this is Islam now. A youngster needed the Islam. Then, this certain villager, He came into the Masjid al-Nabawi and he was relieving himself. The Sahaba were very upset. But Nabi alayhi salam, he taught them how to make the Islah. He said, leave him now. And after he was finished with the job, Nabi alayhi salam called him and explained to him, this Masjid is a place, the house of Allah. Here is a place, we make the zikr of Allah, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This place must be kept clean. Then from some incidents, we see the importance of Islah also for ourselves. Like once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a certain Sahabi that he was reprimanding his slaves, shouting his slaves. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got more power over you than you have over his people. So like for example us, our workers sometimes, we shout at them, we scream at them, people are working for us. And because they're not on time, they can't do their work properly. We have to keep on telling them every day to the same thing also. And we shout, we get angry, we get upset with them. So he told the Sahabi that how much like authority we got, and we feel I can shout this person because he's working for me, I'm paying for his time, I'm the boss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got more authority over us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns us, Allah is the creator of everything. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, who are we? So Allah, we imagine for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us to task. So the Sahabi then, he freed the slave for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is for my Islah, shall I need it also firstly? It's easy to talk like this, but to bring the reality in our lives. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that, Amma, that pay attention, had you not done this, then lala fahat kanar. Maybe the fire of Jahannam could have touched you also. That means that maybe this person was overdoing it, could have been oppressing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But nonetheless, that was for the Sahaba, that level. So who are we to feel that example? We don't need Islam. I'm very great, I need my Islam. And one Sahabi went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he told, complained to him that I've got some slaves working for me and they do this sometimes. They don't listen to me, they don't do the job properly, and I also shout them back, I reprimand them, I hit them, whatever the case may be. So what's going to happen now? He was worried. So one is Nabi Sallam went to this one Sahabi and he explained to him this. And this one Sahabi came to Nabi Sallam also. So Islam also, we should go up to the Sheikh and we need to find out to reform ourselves. So the Sahabi went to Nabi Sallam and explained to him. So Nabi Sallam mentioned to him something to this effect, that whatever they are doing, the wrongs they are doing, they are not fulfilling your rights, they are not working properly for you. So on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make hisab and take a reckoning, it will be put on one side of the scale, one pan of the balance. And your reaction to them, like your trying to reform them, shouting at them, whatever it is going to be put on the other side. And then it depends, if their crime was more, it's more intense, then you are fortunate, you will be lucky, it will be to your advantage. But if you reprimanded them more than they deserved, then it's going to be at your disadvantage. They immediately said, no, I'm freeing them for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is all, this is what, in a nutshell, what Islah is all about. Then in fact, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, absolutely no doubt about it regarding any Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no question of them committing sins at all. So a firm belief, they never ever committed sins. Intentionally, they never ever broke any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they were insan, they were human beings, although very, very special. They sometimes, maybe a certain thing had to be done, which is the best thing to do. And they will do something which is also good, or it's fine, it's not a problem, it's not a sin. For us, it's a very good thing if you can even do the second best or the third best. But they would not do the thing that's the very best. And their position is so high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would then bring it to their attention. Like we will say, like reprimanding. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, and so to say, like correcting them, making the Islam. But it's on a very high level now. That you should have done this, this was even better. Like your position is so high, you could have done this here. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also then makes the Islam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner. But in a very beautiful way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Abasa wa tawalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a passive form, that he frowned and he turned away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling him, you frowned, you turned away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but very general, no, he is someone else. He frowned, he turned away. Allah is addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, he frowned and he turned away. So it imagines for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, no, what was a better thing for you to have done? Give that blind sahabi more attention. He's a Muslim, he's got desire in his heart, give him more attention. And others will come afterwards, but he, because he's come to you now, and he's blind and he's got the desire, give him more attention. So this is in a nutshell what Islah is all about. Then, the person that is fixing the cars, the mechanic. But in today's times, everything now has become very sophisticated and very fancy. So we call him a specialist now. Toyota specialist, a specialist. No more use a mechanic because he has a Toyota specialist, he has a specialist over there. So the specialist also in the workshop is the Khanka here. Of the Khanka is the Sheikh. And once the car is serviced, like we know, minor service, major service, whatever type of service, once we sort ourselves out, then we're back on the road, we carry on to our job. Just to end off now, a little bit of the adab. Because this, the Sheikh is someone who is a means, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using him as a means for our Islah. So there are certain adab, certain etiquettes. Like the parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used them as a means to bring us in this world. So much of respect we have for them, so much of du'as for them. So the Sheikh also, the Nabi also, is got to have the extra respect and consideration for them. So the most important adab is not to deliberately cause inconvenience. So as insan, we know that our nature, how we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created different temperaments, different ways. So inconvenience will be caused also here and there. with a husband and wife also, they will trouble one another now and then. That will happen. Every person has got his weaknesses. So, but deliberately, we should not intentionally now try to harm the sheikh, cause inconvenience to the sheikh, upset the sheikh in any way. And if we have to cause inconvenience in any way, we should ask for forgiveness. So I take the opportunity also to ask us that, on behalf of everyone, myself personally, on behalf of everyone, if we cause any inconvenience to you in any way, any of our sides also, please make us mark. Please forgive us. When shortcomings are there, we are insane. So that's it. The bare minimum is don't cause any inconvenience. And a higher level will be we make the sheikh happy. And the sheikh will be happy when we follow the teaching, we make our Islam. When we are reforming ourselves, showing fikr for ourselves, our deen, we are trying to progress in our broken way, then the sheikh will get happy. There's a higher level where we try to keep the sheikh happy. And we should look at the mizaj of the sheikh. What makes the sheikh happy? Like what can we do that will make the sheikh happy? And we try to do those things. That is now fulfilling the adab and the rights of the sheikh. And one example is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Allah is telling the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم that don't raise your voice above the voice of the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's out of respect for the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the ayat carries on also in detail. So based on this also, then ulama mentioned that when we go to the Roza Mubarak of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, there also we should not raise our voice loudly. Because Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم alive there, it's a barzakhi life, but linked to this dunya. It's in the dunya. It's in the qabr, he is alive. The light is there. It's in the qabr. But it's a barzakhi dimension. Like I explained last time, a person is sleeping. The person is there. The person is in the dunya, but the dimension is different. Now he's in the sleep. Right? That dimension. So a person, that dimension is the difference. Barzakhi, but it's happening there. It takes place there. So, because Nabi Sallam is alive there, and all the Anbiya Sallam are alive, fi quburim yusallun, they are reading salah also in their graves. So we should just have that extra respect when we go in front of the grave of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And by extension, then the ulama mentioned, that ulama warasat al-anbiya. Because the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They are doing the work of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So we should also then show this adab to the sheikh as well. So our manner of sitting, our tone of voice, we should try not to speak in a way that's arrogant or as if we are too clever. This happens sometimes, we make mistakes, but we should try to be humble, try to speak with respect in a nice way, in a pleasant way. And just to end off, Malay Ilyas Ahmad, I mentioned once, like the maqsad of khilafat. What is the object of a khilafat? A sheikh will give a person khilafat. A person stays, for example, from the sheikh for some time, in the company of the sheikh for some time, and the sheikh will sometimes give khilafat if he deems it necessary or there's a Muslim in it. So Malay Ilyas Ahmad will say, for example, in front of the sheikh, and it's easy now, you are making hazrat, and you are trying to make khidmat, you are putting on your best performance, you are smiling, you are so humble and simple. That is easy now, because the sheikh, his position is high. But in front of the normal people, what happens now? We change suddenly like chameleons. Now khilafat is like how you are humble in front of me. Apparently, you are putting on a good face, your character is alright, you read your namaz, you're behaving yourself in front of me. Now go and behave in front of others. You're making my khidmat, now go and make khidmat of everyone else. Like as I said, you're making my khidmat, you press my legs. Now the pay for this is go and press your wife's leg, for example. You make her khidmat, make her happy, make other people happy. So go make khidmat of the people, benefit the people also, show a good akhlaq to the people. This is what Islah is all about. And that's how Islah will take place. That's how reformation will take place. And an easy way to remember is also that as he is slech, right, if you are bad, as he makes slech, you're making nonsense, and he will come rech, and you want to come right, then you must look for the sheikh, look for the sheikh, and then you must khoi the dunya, fech, then throw away the dunya. So easy way to remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants all tawfiq, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.